in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's hard to admit sometimes, but in fact, many of us are dependent on our electronic devices. Whether we want to admit it or not, it is true that we have a great dependence on that mighty cell phone. We like the opportunity it gives us to look up information at any time or in any circumstance. We like that we can call on someone 24/7 or know that if we reach out, someone will be there. If we are dependent on our electronic devices or our phone, we are all the more dependent on our wireless networks. We wouldn't connect with anyone if we didn't have services like Verizon or AT&T or T-Mobile. You add your wireless service provider. In 2002, there was an ad campaign that was put out by Verizon Wireless that featured a simple repeated refrain. You remember it. It was a gentleman and everyman named Paul who would find remote locations and then on his phone would say, "Can you hear me now? Good." And then he'd be in another spot. "Can you hear me now? Good. Can you hear me now? Good." Later he went to Sprint, if you remember. Today, as we enter into our third week and focusing on the book of Hebrews, we are introduced to Jesus, the high priest, and we are given the gift and the comfort of knowing that when we cry out, "Can you hear me now?" we will have a clear connection. Good. In fact, we are so confident in this mediator, Jesus, as high priest, not just any high priest, but the high priest, that we are encouraged to approach the throne of grace with boldness. With boldness, it says in the book of Hebrews, trusting that we will receive mercy and grace in our time of need. "Can you hear me now?" we say with boldness. Good. Because we trust that our cries are heard. Now, this image of Jesus as high priest is one that would be very meaningful to first century Christians. Unfortunately, I think for us hearing this reading today or reading it again, it's a bit lost in our interpretation. We don't have a high priest that we refer to in our everyday, even our church life. Oh, we know what a priest is, perhaps a priest in the Catholic tradition or the Episcopal tradition. We speak of our pastors. We understand that role set apart, and on some level, the high priest had a similar role, certainly set apart for a specific responsibility, highly revered for that first century Christian understanding their role. Their role would include such things as being set apart with a specific dress, so that if one were to see the high priest, you would know exactly who he was. A high priest would also be called into an important responsibility on Yom Kippur to go into the Holy of Holies, the place where it was understood that the glory of the Lord resided, and only that high priest could enter in that time and in that place. But other responsibilities, like I said, seem similar to what you understand as set apart by your leaders in the church. These were leaders who were called to teach about the law, to interpret God's will for the people, and to offer mediation, peacemaking opportunities for God's people, as well as being judge from time to time. Now, Jesus would live up to all of these expectations when they heard that word high priest. But then Hebrews takes it to another level, explaining to the first century Christian, the Hebrews that would be reading this text or hearing it for the first time, that in Jesus is a high priest that has been set apart not only as servant to the people, but one who has gone to the length of entering in to suffering. Not only that, but this high priest, whom they would expect to be of an order of, say, the Levite tradition, the priestly tradition, why, he was of the order of Melchizedek, which was a kingly tradition. Here is king and servant leader, priest for the people. Suddenly there would be that aha moment of who Jesus truly was as Savior, mediator, one to come into the experience of God's people in a complete way. Remember how this is so clearly stated in Hebrews, the fourth chapter. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. In every respect has experienced suffering, been tested on some level as we are. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. That word sympathy does mean something to us in this time and place. We know what it is to extend sympathy. On some level, as we continue to live in an increasing polarized world, we have been encouraged to be civil in our actions with one another, to be able to listen more fully to one another. We may even say, as someone states an opinion, I sympathize with your point of view. But then we may offer our point of view, and perhaps we are not willing to enter in deeply into a further conversation. But sympathy is entering into the fullness of another person's experience in such a way that you almost lose yourself. And in fact, perhaps sympathy is best experienced or understood by us when it comes to a time of loss. It is in the midst of grieving that we offer words of sympathy. We send sympathy cards. We offer our word to say, I sympathize with your pain. Sometimes the best gift that we can give in offering sympathy to another is simply to be with the other in their suffering. The gospel reading that is paired with today's reading from Hebrews chapters 4 and 5 is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, this is a reading we hear obviously during Holy Week, in a time when we are preparing for Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. But today we hear it in the context of these words from Hebrews. We are reminded of how Jesus, in a time of deep grief and suffering, asked for the accompaniment, asked for his closest companions to simply be with him. Jesus invites the disciples to stay with him while he goes to pray. And he is grieved in spirit. Did you hear the level of grief in that gospel reading today? And we know what happens. Those disciples are awake for a while, but when Jesus returns, oh, wouldn't you know it? They've fallen asleep. Here is Jesus in this great place of pain and suffering, and his disciples can't even stay awake for an hour? Certainly Jesus and his disappointment is clear in that moment. Obviously, this brings grief to him, but in some ways it allows space, I believe, as I hear its reading today in the context of Hebrews, that in fact there are times when we are called to be with people, and there are times when we are very, very present, and there are times when we fall asleep, sometimes disappointing those who need us most. It is human of us. Sometimes we can't go to the extent that Jesus would want us to, and yet there is grace in that. Even in those times when you feel like you have done all you can do, sometimes it doesn't seem like enough, or you are the one who is suffering and you feel like everyone around you has fallen asleep. Do they not know your pain? Couldn't they just sit with you for one more hour? Jesus has experienced this kind of grieving and suffering too. And Jesus knows our limitations as well, and yet we are called to be ones who offer sympathy and care. Grief counselors and those who work and write books about grief say there are many ways that we can offer sympathy. Here are 7 examples of ways in which you can employ a sense of sympathy on behalf of others. For some of you, this comes very easily. Sometimes this is what immediately comes out of your mouth, or perhaps you are a person of action. For example, it is easy for you in a moment of sympathy to say this, I know how much you loved him, recognizing the deep pain of another. Sometimes we have no words based on the loss, so simply saying that, instead of saying nothing, simply say, I have no words for you right now. Or I can't imagine what you are going through, but I'm here to listen if you need me. And it's okay to simply say, I'm so sorry, because we do feel the pain that others feel in times of grief. Or I'd like to help. I'd like to help clean your kitchen. I'd like to help bring you some dinner one night. I'd like to help mow your yard. Whatever I can do to help in this time of need. Or maybe it's simply sharing those good and happy memories of that loved one's life among us. One who is grieving longs for their loved ones, their spirit, their memory, who they were to live on. And as people of faith, to simply offer our prayers. For we know our prayers and supplications, our intercessions on behalf of those who are grieving, are heard, and that is good. One particular response that grief counselors ask people to use with caution is this one. I know how you feel. Not that if you have experienced a similar loss, say you have lost a spouse and now someone is grieving the loss of their spouse, you do know how it feels on some level. If you have experienced a divorce and the suffering that comes with it, and you meet someone who is doing that experience for themselves, it's okay to say, I know on some level how you feel, but to respect the fact that each person's grief is unique to themselves and their circumstance. However, in our reading from Hebrews today, we understand that there is a God who has known every kind of suffering, that in Jesus we do not have one who is far off from us, but we have one when we are suffering who does know how it feels. Exactly how it feels. So much so that when we cry out in our suffering, Jesus is not alarmed, our God is not distant, but our God is present, entering into that suffering completely, wholly offering us peace and comfort, and even saying, I am stronger than this. Whatever holds you, I hold you closer. You are mine. Throughout the season of these summer months, we have had opportunity, as we have called the children forward, to sing that little song, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. Sometimes when we are looking for places of comfort and sympathy, we can find it even in the simplest words of a hymn like this one. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. But today we are given a new song. Jesus knows me, and this I love. Known completely. Known even in the depths of suffering and pain. Wherever we find challenges in this day, Jesus has gone before us, is with us, and will carry us through. This past Thursday, I came home after a day of work and was kind of organizing things in my kitchen and went to take my cell phone and somehow missed it, and it flew up in the air, and it was one of those like slow motion moments where the phone was going down and bam, hit the ground. Oh, I heard the crack. I knew it. I picked up the cell phone, turned it over. Shattered screen. Oh, I was thinking of all the calls I needed to make, all the things I still needed to do. Out of desperation, I thought, could it possibly work? Turned it on. It worked. Thank you. We're a little dependent on our devices, right? Shattered. It seemed that it probably wouldn't connect, and yet it did. We are broken. We are imperfect. We continue to cry out for needs that we long to have met, some we know are not even all that important, and yet some that are deep within our spirit. We are so grieved, but we have a God whose connection has been given to us in Jesus himself. Call upon him, trust in him, believe in him. For we do not have a high priest who is far off, who cannot sympathize with our sorrows and our pain. For we have been given Christ alone, and in him is grace and new life. Amen.